I'm trying to figure out where we are now in our process. I don't believe that just another round of discussion right now is going to
do it. Not quite. After a drink, maybe, but not right away.
No. No, thank you. No, about... No, what I want to suggest is that we not... Is that we lay this to rest for a moment. And then we're going to have to come back to it. You know,
I would just suggest that if we have a vote... I mean, it's clear that we know the issues, but I don't like... to present it in a slack, are you for freedom or not? Those for freedom, raise your hand. Those others.
And we have not done that, right?
Okay, no, not quite. But I'm saying that
I'm not
against
totally
diversity. I'm not against the diversity. I think that let's make clear that it's going to take place within a very strict national set of rules that would, you know, that would dictate how much freedom each area would have.
No, Ray, I don't think that's really necessary. I think that this board, at this point in the afternoon and in the discussion, is split on the question of whether or not there is a uniform model for the elections applied to each 5 listing areas or not. And that's not a question of freedom or not. It's just a question of a difference of opinion on that.
But I like to spell out the way it would be implemented, that it be clear to people who are new, who have any doubt, that it's being done with a very strict, narrow... a format, you know, national framework that would dictate that you have to meet all the, you know...
That were there to be...
All requirements
were there to not be uniformity.
Ray
is suggesting that we see by a straw poll. If people feel comfortable where in a situation where there were not uniformity, that the parameters of what the election model would be for each city would have to adhere to guidelines set by the national.
Exactly.
Okay? Is that clear? Can we have a straw poll on that?
On what? It's discussed in section 6 in the next section.
Where is that?
On
fair campaign provisions?
That's within each one.
Basically says that
that's within each city that's fair. Let me try and clarify it again. What Ray was saying is that maybe, what I hear from what Ray was saying was that perhaps people weren't clear that one option is uniformity, right? That there's just one way the elections are done in all 5 cities. Another option, just to make it as clear as possible, is that there would be parameters or guidelines or whatever set out for how elections could happen, that within those parameters and guidelines, each of the 5 listening areas could hammer out the details, and therefore there might be some difference from listening area to listening area.
Excuse me. Technically, it can be. We could leave this meeting today and say, "All right, labs, you've got 2 weeks to come up with your elections model. How you're going to elect your within these guidelines. Send them back to us. The board will either approve or disapprove of them, and we will have 5 sections of our bylaws that say this is how the WBAI elections will occur." This is how the WPF. I just want to be clear that those five different models would actually create 5 different classes of membership based upon their voting rights in the 5 signal areas, because their voting rights would be different in Los Angeles and in Washington and in Houston and in Berkeley and in New York. So
the package would have to be approved.
And the final package approving everybody's voting mechanism station by station would have to be approved by 3 out of 5 of the labs, because that's our legal agreement.
Okay.
So I just want people to know that it's not, okay, we're going to set some guidelines, it goes back to the 5 boards and they work it out.
Right.
It comes back here. Mm-hmm. It goes into the written language, and then we have to get 2/3 of this board and 3 out of 5 labs to approve it.
So there would be, for instance, in the bylaws, section 5, local station board voting model or voting structure, A, WBAI, B, WPFW, C, da-da-da-da, right? Each one would have a paragraph or two spelling it out.
And there would also actually be different class... Just
Excuse
a minute.
Me.
Just a minute. Out, there would also be, we would have to revisit the member definition of members, and we would have to say that that depending on station area, there would be a class of membership from WBAI listeners and a different class of membership from others, each station, because their voting rights are different. It's a legal technicality, but we're creating five different classes of membership among the listeners.
Okay, can I suggest that this, let's just go with the concept, okay, and see where we are on the concept and not on the details of the technicality of the classes of members, because I'm not sure what that means in the day-to-day functioning of our stations and of these local boards, right? But there would be an impact on how the elections are carried out, whether or not they're the same in each station area or different, right? Okay, so we're going to take a, no, Angie, I don't think. Does anybody on the board have a question? I mean, we, you know.
Please.
I'm sorry. I hear you.
Is it about how it's formulated?
Let me get your drinks. Excuse me. If we could.
Okay, but let me just try this. Okay, let's just see where we are with this. Okay, so the proposal is from Ray, if I might.
Yes, please.
Right, that the national board would set guidelines. This national board, the interim board right now, or, you know, in this process, would set guidelines that would go back to the labs, not the station, but the presently constructed labs, to take those guidelines and within them figure out, you know, what their particular election, how their particular elections are going to work,
electoral method,
what their method is going to be. Those then come back as part of this process of the bylaws revision and get entered in to the bylaws after approval by the board, that they, you know, would be looked at, be put into it, then as part of the whole package of what goes back out to the labs to be voted on, they would vote on them.
Leslie, that's just saying, okay, we're agreeing that we're not going to have a uniform system. Mm-hmm. We did not make that
that's
vote.
Right. That's right. And Ray asked us to come at this question from another angle, and I'm allowing that to happen. Mm-hmm. So now we're going to vote on this.
I strongly object.
The body was split. The body was split right
now. Well, now we have an odd number. Let's vote.
So that's what I'm trying to do, George.
No, we now have an odd number. Let's vote on, the whole thing again.
Excuse me.
I move that we vote on whether we're going to have the uniform system or not.
No, but I'm sorry. We have, George. I would ask.
I made a motion.
I would ask. Ray put forth a motion.
I'm sorry. That's a dilatory motion. As a point of order, we already voted on that motion. You voted against it. You can't ask us to reconsider it. Ray has a new motion before us.
Thank you. The motion. Okay. Do I need to repeat the motion? Okay, folks. We have not. We have been using very lenient rules here today, right? Because these are not binding votes. We're still in the straw poll. I'm asking everybody's patience and cooperation. And what I'd like to do is to put before us this motion as I just restated what Ray had said. Right?
Is very well.
So it's Ray's motion that. Do I need to repeat it?
Yes.
Okay. The motion is that the interim board would develop guidelines or parameters for the election process. Those would then go to each of the five local advisory boards that are presently in place to hammer out details for how their election would be done. That would come back to us as part of our ongoing deliberations for the bylaws and put into the new draft. So there would be a section for WBAI, for WPFT, You know the call letters, right? Five sections, one for each station, that the board would then vote on as a package as part of its bylaws, and then it would then go back to the labs for a vote. Okay? So the essence of that is that within guidelines, there could be different voting details from station to station.
Leslie?
It's the opposite way of saying, you know, it's the opposite of the uniformity.
Leslie?
Is that not clear?
Okay. I have a motion.
But, no, I have that before us, and I'd like to vote on it.
I have a motion to reconsider the previous motion.
You voted against it.
I'm sorry. Can we just finish Ray's and see how it breaks out?
No.
Please.
Why not?
If I could, Chair. I mean, the fact is that there was a 4-4 vote. It might now be a 5. It might now become a 5-4 vote. That to me is not a healthy vote on such a fundamental issue. I think we need to find something we have greater proportional, you know, representation on. You know, significant support for.
We're moving to a similar type vote. It probably has similar type of impact. So
I would like to vote. Like, if this body is split, then I would like to entertain your motion. You know,
let's just do one.
Can't we just do one? Oh, we'll entertain it anyway. Let's
okay,
see what
so
this
goes.
Yeah, we'll entertain your motion also.
Anyway. What the heck?
Okay. Okay. The people get it. People understand what we're voting on. I'm not going to repeat it.
They're going to take your vote.
Does everybody understand what we're voting on?
On Ray's motion.
On Ray's motion.
Yes.
No, George, you want me to repeat it?
We're doing backdoor method of asking the same questions.
That's right. It's another way of coming at the issue. That's right. That is absolutely right. Because we split before, I was asked to try it from another angle and see where we are.
Could you define what the difference of the angles is?
The first angle was, do you want the voting methods to be uniform? The House, the board split on that, right? Now we're coming at this another way. The way that I just explained, right? That is, do you feel okay with setting parameters, guidelines, and then letting the labs figure out the details of the designing the details of their. No, we didn't vote on that yet.
Let's, okay, all in favor.
All in favor of Ray's proposal.
All in favor of Ray?
Yeah. 1, 2, 3. Okay, and all opposed to it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And abstentions. Okay, now, James, do you have something else you want to put on the table?
Yes.
What was your motion?
Yeah, I'd like to reconsider the original vote, original motion.
Uniformity or not.
Okay.
So they want to say no twice.
Right.
Go ahead.
Okay, so that proposal was that we have uniform election structure in each city.
Right.
Okay, all in favor of that. Oh, is there a second to that?
I'll second it.
Yeah.
Okay. All in favor of the uniform, the idea of uniformity. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and all opposed. 1, 2, 3, 4. So again, I would suggest that we are as we were.
Why don't you get off my case, woman? What's wrong with you?
Excuse me. I'm sorry. I have no idea what happened, but let's not have it happen again.
I would move to have her removed if she continues to act that way.
Okay, I don't know what happened. So can we, folks? No. I want to insist. Would like to.
I'm going to insist that the board member apologize to our listeners. This is on the air that he was swearing.
I certainly will. This is James Ferguson from the WPFA.
WPFW,
Eric. I certainly got caught up, but under the circumstances, you would have too.
Okay, so we're sorry about that. Now, I would like to move the agenda. This board is, at this point in this process, clearly not unified. We're clearly split. There's not a two-thirds majority. There's not a three-quarters majority. You know, it's split. That's clear. So we need, and I don't think we're going to do it now by just sitting here going around again on this one. We need to figure out another kind of discussion and more thought and hammering it out.
Yeah.
So I would like to move the agenda. I think that in this next 50 minutes or so, we could maybe take another chunk of work here and try and resolve something else.
You keep a list of these things, these important things that we're going to come back to.
I've memorized them all.
Oh.
No, I haven't.
to our fearless leader, I would suggest we go to Article 5, Section 1B regarding eligibility and term.
We did a stroke poll on
that. That would be
Leslie.
I'm sorry, Article 5.
Leslie, I have a question for you.
All right, I'm sorry. George has a question.
Can you give me one precedent in our work in doing these bylaws and doing straw polls where you required anything but a majority?
I'm sorry, George. I don't have the record in front of me.
No, but can you, amongst anyone on this board, can you remember
sorry,
one time?
No, I don't have it, so I can't answer the question. You asked if I can answer.
Can I make a comment?
I mean,
yeah. I really am glad, considering what this is, because this is really gets to the basis of everything we're trying to do. So I'm glad that we want to at least come to something that we all can feel comfortable with. I don't see any harm in that. That's not hurtful.
That's not what's at issue. What's at issue?
Oh, it is. That's what's at issue. You're asking her, you're trying to be strictly regulating the way we're doing voting. And we're saying now, in this particular instance, because this is important and gets at the heart of the election process, that we want it more than to be just a majority. We want something that we like, or at least can live
so
with.
So what's our standard? Are we making a supermajority of two-thirds, of three-fourths, of nine-tenths?
No, George, no. No, I'm so, no, no. The straw polls don't have to be, not, you know.
The ultimate vote has to
the
be.
The ultimate vote will need two-thirds, but I believe if I'm.
You can start off with something.
But what we're trying to find here is a set of bylaws that can work for this organization, that can work because people are buying into it, because people feel good about it. This has been an issue of some confusion, controversy, different ideas, and also everybody. What at least what I've heard from every single person, wherever they've fallen on this, has said how important this is,
yeah.
Right? So, therefore, it's in my mind in a different category than what constitutes a quorum at a meeting, for instance, right? Or even, you know, if you're in office for 2 years or 3 years. You know, there is a different character to this issue, and therefore, it is true that we don't have any particular guidelines that we've agreed to about what issue falls in where. I'm making a judgment call on the nature of this issue as compared to some of the other issues in the bylaws. So having said that, again, I'd like to move on.
I don't think you're showing leadership.
Okay, thank you. I that's fine. Everybody has their opinions. I obviously disagree, but that's your right to say that and to feel that. So the recommendation, again, we only have 45 minutes. For now, and then we will convene again at 7. David had suggested we move on to Article 5, but there is one more thing in the elections, which I think maybe we could do, because I think it applies to whatever the model is. And it has to do with fair campaign provisions, and the recommendation is that the board should collaborate on a version of the KPFA text. I'm not sure what that exactly means, but the point is to consider requiring that election procedures would include authorized voting methods, certification of eligible members, registration of voting members, nomination petitions and certification, campaign and fundraising guides, ballot printing and distribution, plus alternative voting methods, tabulation ballots, and certification of delegates elected. I think the actual proposal from KPFA, the actual proposal, you want to read it?
So it's in there?
All right, this is the proposal.
No, is it in here?
You know, folks, this is so exhausting, and it's really emotionally ripping, and it's really hard. If you just would be respectful and quiet, it would make me happy. Section 5, fair campaign provisions. No foundation or radio station management or staff may use airtime to endorse or campaign or recommend for or against any candidate.
Thank you.
No foundation or radio station management or staff may use airtime to endorse or campaign or recommend for or against any candidate for election to station board delegate, or give airtime to some candidates but not others. All candidates for election shall be given equal opportunity for airtime, and such airtime shall be specially set aside for candidate statements and questions and answers from the listeners. No foundation or radio station management or staff may give written endorsements to any listener-sponsored delegate candidates. Neither the board of directors nor any local station board may, as a body, endorse any candidates for election to the station board. However, individual directors and local station board delegates who are members in good standing may endorse or nominate candidates. What's the point here? We're not going to use our air to give one person an advantage, and we're not going to use our air to slam somebody who's running. It's against the rules. And also, management can't endorse people for the listeners, sponsor delegates. And also, that the local board itself as a body will not endorse a candidate. But any one of us, if we wanted to sign somebody's nomination papers, we can do it. That's the bottom line.
Okay, let me just say, that was from the KBFA model. What Rob was suggesting also, that in this section would go something calling for other procedures or provisions to ensure fair campaigns. That is, certification of eligible members, the nominating petition certification, other things that would make sure that the election process was fair and carried out fairly. Right, Rob? You were also suggesting
exactly.
That those would have to be included in addition.
Do you want those in the bylaws?
No. I'm just saying that some of the campaign provisions that the local station boards may want to include would deal with how they're doing that if they're doing this on a local basis. If we're doing separate style elections, then there is a necessity to be clear on what the criteria are. For example, how do you certify who's eligible to vote? If we're doing uniform election procedures across, across the nation, then there's no necessity for that.
Okay.
I thought it was up in the air about whether or not we were going to.
Right.
I didn't think that the compromise proposal out there from Donna required us to define our membership differently. It was still listener sponsors who donate a certain minimum or a volunteer. Was that right?
Right. The definition of membership would still be the same.
Oh, yeah.
I was suggesting, though, that whatever the details are, that it would be appropriate in this section to, in addition to the on-air issues raised from the KBFA model, there be some reference to the need to have fairness in the execution of the elections. A commitment to the fairness.
Yes.
Not that every single detail is spelled out.
Oh, no, not at all.
That's
no,
all.
No.
I thought that was in the... We already voted on that about turning it over to an independent certified elections coordinator.
We did.
Who would certify fairness.
I'm sorry, maybe we did. Where did we put that?
It was under nominations.
Okay, so as long as it's in there, I don't care where it is, as long as it's in there. James?
Yeah, if I could consider, the board can consider an amendment to this, after however individual directors and local station board delegates who are members in good standing may endorse or nominate candidates, but with a disclaimer that they are not... They're doing it in their capacity as individuals.
As a member, individual member.
Yeah. As opposed to a representative of the station.
Okay.
Interest of the station.
Yes. What do you do there in Berkeley when a guest gets on the air and endorses somebody?
It's never happened that I know of.
It will.
Yeah. I think that our staff needs to be trained to say, we're not going to talk about this except during specified elections, campaigning time. And if you're going to break the rules, there's got to be disciplinary action.
Right. Again, all the details are not going to go into the bylaws, right? But the principle of no abuse of the air. Right. Okay. Mary.
At KPFA, when we were going to, at least everyone that I was involved with in both elections, which was quite a few candidates, we always told guests about that we're going to be on anything relating to those candidates that wasn't to be mentioned on the air. We promulgated that pretty clearly, and I don't think, to my knowledge, I really think there was no such instance. It was not hard to prevent that.
Thank you, Mary.
Okay. So do we have a motion to adopt this section?
So moved.
Okay. All in favor?
With amendment.
With the amendment. I'm sorry, with the amendment.
Can you state the amendment?
The amendment was that if an individual from the board endorses somebody, they have to make it clear that they're not speaking as a representative of the board, they're speaking as an individual. Right?
Right, that's the amendment.
So we may endorse in their own name.
Right, in their own name.
Well, personal capacity.
Right. But
just a regular, boilerplate language.
Okay,
all in favor? All in favor, please raise your hands. One, two, three.
Unanimous.
No, is it unanimous?
I don't believe it.
Are you voting?
Opposed.
He wouldn't.
Abstention. One abstention.
No, we're voting about the we're on local board elections right now. When we get there.
We're only on the local board.
Okay, we're in a conversation here. Off mic.
Okay. Now, Article 5. What do we have to do? Yes.
One of the things that I omitted here, we need to have a section that deals with how the local station boards will replace members who attrit through death or resignation, and I apologize, I excised that some kind of way.
Okay, do you have a proposal?
Well, I don't know where it is and where, amongst the myriads of versions, but I would put the proposal out. What we do at KPFA is if somebody resigns or dies,
that's right. It's clear.
You're lucky.
Not allowed to resign.
We can make a rule about that, right?
During their term, the next in order from the last election replaces them. So
with all the diversity requirement thing also being met.
Yes. Who meets the diversity requirements?
So moved.
Okay, is that so moved? Second. Okay, any discussion on that? Okay, so all those who support that there would be language in there. Okay, all those who support that language. Jabari, yes. The replacement. I know. The replacement. Should somebody die or leave or leave the board, they would be replaced by the next person in line.
Abstain.
Okay.
So how many we have? 8 and 1.
2, 4, 6, 8. Yes, 8 and 1. Okay. So now, can we go to Article 5? Now, which sections do we need to focus on here?
We should go down to D.
D.
Discuss ex officio directors. That was in several of the proposals.
Can you the mic, please?
Several of the bylaws proposals contain provisions for ex officio directors, and I think the board should discuss if and what they want to do about that. I really can't make a recommendation.
Can you refresh your memory as to what the proposals were?
I can't even do that.
All right. Well, I saw a proposal that said the executive director is a member of the board of directors, non-voting member of the board of directors, ex officio, by reason of his office, his or her office. I was looking at him as I spoke, so I didn't want to. There was a proposal, I don't know who made it, that the executive director be a non-voting ex officio member of the national board.
Yes, you make that motion?
Oh, no.
I'm refreshing people's memories.
Okay.
Stephen Brown from New York is asking.
A non-voting member of the board means you really ought to show up at the board meetings, be there, participate in the discussion, be available for points of information, but you don't vote.
It's like being a delegate from Washington, D.C. to Congress.
No, you don't have to tell Dan.
Okay. Is there any thoughts on this on the board? Can we vote on it?
Is the only person that's in question, the only position is the executive director?
No, the national board. Okay, all in favor? Raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. All opposed. 1, 2, 3. Okay, so there's a leaning toward that.
EB.
No, having the executive director function as an ex officio director, member of the national board.
That just simply means
6-3.
But if he's not voting, he's just sitting there, right?
I'm talking.
Well, he's waiting for the right moment.
Okay. But now the next section, power and authority. You want to?
Right. The I looked at all of the different bits, and I think the most comprehensive language was the language from the KPFA draft for the power and authority, and my recommendation is that we use that because we are going to have to go into more detail on the duties specifically.
So, again, can somebody summarize what the powers and authority and the KPFA model are?
It just says, subject to the provision of the California Nonprofit Public Benefit Corporation Law and any limitation in the Articles of Incorporation and bylaws relating to action required or permitted to be taken or approved by the members or delegates of the foundation, the activities and affairs of the foundation shall be conducted and all corporate powers shall be exercised by or under the board of directors.
Okay, is there any problem there? Okay, all in favor, raise your hand.
Where are you?
Power and authority, page 8. Okay, I think it's unanimous except that George is
on Jabari.
Jabari.
Article 5.
Article 5.
Section E.
Sorry. Page 8.
Page 8 of 23.
Top of the page. Okay, got it? I'm just waiting for George to read it. Okay? Okay, yes, it's unanimous.
So that's 9-0.
Okay.
Oh.
F, duties not discussed. There shall be no duties for the National Board. How do we proceed with this?
I think we should take a break, and there were a number of different duties that were elucidated. I think people should make a case from the different bylaws proposals.
Okay, let me suggest also that we maybe not do that now and go on to the. It's because it's 4:30 already. You know, we only have a half hour left right now in this section. 29 minutes. Thank you. Let's go on to the terms. And the recommendation is that the term of director shall be 3 years. A director may serve 2 consecutive 3-year terms. A director shall not be eligible to for further services as a director until 1 year has elapsed after the termination of the director's 2nd consecutive 3-year term. So this is parallel to the local station board.
Mm-hmm.
Any conversation about that? Yes, Carol.
Yeah, elsewhere, but I can't find it. We have a requirement that the station board representatives on the national board be members of the station board. So, and we also have a requirement that the station board members have a 2-year term limit of 3 years. So, what do we do in the second term? We elect somebody in the second year of their second term to the national board. Their term on the local board would expire before their term on the national board expired. There are 2 ways I can see to deal with that. One would be to leave them ex officio members of the local board until their term expired. That's the only way I can think of to deal with it off the top of my head. What?
That would render that person less of a full voting member, wouldn't it?
Well, on the local board, see, the question is, how would this affect the local board? The local board could have an extra voting member or an extra non-voting member. What do we do? I really don't know. Because in order that my lab wants to elect somebody, they have the full range of local board members to choose from to elect. Somebody, maybe in the second year of their second term, is the most qualified person, according to that lab, to serve a person they want on the national board. But their term on the local board is going to run out before 3 years is up. What do we do? There's got to be a technical way to fix that problem.
To the national board. Every year, another election. Easy. Every January.
Okay. Rob.
Well, I'm wondering. I don't know the legalities of this, but in the specific case in which someone is elected to the national board, and the duration remaining on their delegate's term will expire before the end of their term as a board member. Could we not give the board the authority to waive that, since if the local station board has elected someone to serve for a 3-year term, regardless of whether that technicality occurs, we would assume that the local station board would support a waiver of that stipulation. Well, then why would they elect the person if they knew that they weren't going to be eligible? They wouldn't be able to vote.
Tricky wicket.
Yeah, it's a tricky wicket. Our philosophy in developing the KPFA model was to have interlocking boards so that all of the members, except potentially some affiliate representatives, but all of the members of the national board would concurrently be serving as members of the local board, so that we would not have a disconnect in the communication chain of how the national board thinks about things and being out of touch with what's happening at the local stations. So I kind of like the idea of leaving the person on the local board ex officio for the remainder of their term.
On the local board?
On the local board. By reason of remaining a director.
Well, I just wonder about that with all this other stuff we've been talking about the duties of the LSB. It just, I don't know.
I don't see what that has to do with it.
Well, I don't understand, Jess. Can you say more?
If the LSB ends up hiring and firing folks, but they don't really have, I don't know, it doesn't make sense. They don't have a vote, but they're doing things. They're sitting there on the local board, but they're a director.
Ex officio doesn't mean non-voting. Ex officio means by reason of your office. That person would remain a voting member of the local board so long as...
I thought when we were talking about the executive director being ex officio...
I said ex officio, non-voting. Those are two different things.
Oh, so that isn't... Oh, that's not part of the...
Right. So what I would suggest here is that if a local board elects somebody that whose term on the local board will expire before their term on the national board, that they're going to remain on the local board ex officio. And what that means is that the local board is going to have an extra member.
Right. So what's going to happen to your...
Okay, is that clear? The people, is there an alternative model?
That definitely makes sense.
What, Donnie, on this question?
I'm Donnie McWaters, KPFT Houston. I support Kurt's suggestion that the local station boards can very easily, with zero cost, elect their national board members each year, and that would solve this problem. The only alternative that I think would be democratic would be 2-year terms to the national board, which would result in some person having to not be on the national board for 2 years, the 1 year that they have to set off the station board and the 1 year after their 2-year term ended, presuming that the station board wanted to continue to elect that person to the national board. But if they are ex officio, how would we recall them? They would not be accountable to anyone. Thank you.
Okay, Serene.
I want to suggest that, in fact, we have 2-year terms for national boards for local board members. I'm sorry, 2-year terms for national board members. So if someone were to come on, they'd be on their local board for a year. We'd know what... I'm sorry, you guys can't hear me?
No,
pretty close. Okay. I can't get any closer. that we have 3-year terms for the local boards and 2-year terms for the... I'm sorry, 3-year terms for the local board. The first year you'd be there as a new member, let's say, assuming we're all coming in fresh. Then you have 2 years in which you can do your 2-year term on the national board. So there'll never be an overlap because you're only allowed to serve 2 terms on the national board. So that by the end of your first period on the national board, you'd have two more years. If, assuming they wanted you back again, you wouldn't overflow your six-year max on the local board. Got that?
Mm-hmm. Sort of. Yeah.
Good.
Does it work for me?
Okay. I think that the math works. Yeah. Yeah, the math works.
The law says that a director of a foundation with members cannot serve more than 6 years on the board, no matter how you divide up the terms. So you could have 2 3-year terms or 3 2-year terms or 6 1-year terms, but that's what the law says about membership corporations. I kind of...
That doesn't have anything to... That doesn't hurt what she just said.
No, it doesn't. I'm just saying that the trouble is you have to be a member of the local board to be on the national board. I kind of am attracted to this thought of doing annual elections to the national board. What's wrong with that idea?
Annual election for a one-year term?
Yes. Uh-huh. Each local board would elect its 3 or 4, we haven't settled on the number, representatives to the national board annually. That would be a vote of confidence in those who are doing a good job, and they could be reelected 6 times under the as long as they're members of the local board, or 5,
Carol,
or 3. Just a minute, George. Or not reelected for a second term if the board isn't happy with them. What's wrong with that?
Okay, George.
What's wrong with it is that, as evidenced by our own experience on this board, you know, in the beginning, we didn't get anything done. We didn't have a good feel for each other. Because we didn't know each other that well. It's only after doing a lot of retreats and working well, now we feel comfortable working with each other. We're much more productive. And I think by virtue of tenure of office, you're going to increase the productivity of the board by virtue of that. That's why I don't like it.
Okay. Did I see a hand over here? Yeah, David.
Yeah, I think that if we provide that somebody elected to the national board from the local board automatically has their term extended by 1 month, that would allow for the overlap.
What?
Is that too weird?
Yeah.
Okay, well, that was my idea. It's not unusual that I have that response to some of my ideas, but sometimes they actually work, even though they sound strange. The point being that we need some kind of overlap. I do support the notion I can live with the notion of annual elections. I agree with George that it's really difficult to develop the interactive dynamic. On the other hand, it solves some other problems logistically of the overlap of terms. And furthermore, I think that if a person's working well, then they should be retained. And if not, maybe the local board would find someone better. I think it does create greater accountability.
Yeah, but you spend, this Ray, your time running.
No. We're talking about election from the local board to the national board. So it's not really a campaign thing. It's just merely participation on the local board, and people observe, and you're coming back and forth. I dare say my local board, I don't know that I'd last a whole year on it as a rep to the national board. No, but seriously. There's a lot of stuff that comes up, and people, need to make sure that their national boards are being accountable, and to be able to not have to recall them, but merely reelect them every year. I think it's not entirely unsound. I don't think it would be that distracting from a campaign or elective process, because it's within a smaller number of people in terms of the local board. But we do have a problem with the overlap at the end of the term. If we're having the national board elected from the local board, then we have at least a 1 month overlap. If we have, how much time are we going to have after we've named our local boards before we name our national board?
Why do you keep talking about 1 month?
Oh, a week, whatever. I mean, whatever the period of time is, we should extend that term so that at the end of the following term, the local board member.
I think the problem was a year. That was
problem
the problem.
Of a year.
It was a year. It's not a month overlap or whatever.
Make it 2.
It's a year.
It could be 2 years.
Make it 2 years.
Right.
It becomes a. And then 2 and 2.
Make what? 2 years.
The
service on the national board?
No, the break.
Election?
The 1 year, 2 year elapse as opposed to 1 year.
Mm. Before they can get back on? Mm.
But that doesn't speak to that. The question is the other way. I thought the question was the other way, that if your term on your local board has expired and you still and you haven't completed
and
your 3 years.
The local board elected you to be on the national board.
Right.
Right.
But your national term has not expired yet. You still have. You're elected for 3 years on your local board. In your after your first year on the local board, you get elected to the national board. So you have 2 more years left to serve on your local board, but you have 3 years to serve as a director on the national board. So there's a year in there where, at the way it is now, you would be on the national board but no longer a member of the local board. So there's a gap of a year in there. So the question, one solution was that if you have to be elected each year by your local board, then when, you know, after your local board term was up, you would not be elected for that third year.
And the other one was what Serene said, is that the national board members serve for a two-year term, correct?
Right.
You could get elected in your third year.
Well, you shouldn't elect anybody in their third year.
I
may not have understood what Carol said, but if in that situation the local station board granted ex officio status for the director that they had elected, they were serving ex officio as a director on the local station board, then the problem would be erased. If the local station board determined that they wanted to remove the person as a director, they could still do that. So, I mean, it would seem to me that solves the problem, and I can't really seriously imagine that a local station board would elect someone and not want them to serve the full term on the national board.
And they can still recall.
Right.
Carol? One of the problems that we had over the years was nobody could tell when directors' terms expired. You know, they were going on in March. They were going on in February. They were going on in September. They were going on in January. And most organizations have an annual election. So you know that your new board comes in January or February or whatever month your bylaws says. And if you have a specific term, then you know when you're going to replace somebody. But if you, I lost track. What you said was the board could choose to recall them if they weren't going to spend the third year of their term. Then the next person would have to come in to fill out their term for 1 year, not for three.
Right.
That would be adding complexity to the system. Yeah.
Okay, let me just say that I think that keeping track of when people go on and therefore when their term is up is another issue. I mean, you can keep track, whatever. You know, the problem wasn't that people came on the board different times, is that people didn't want to leave the board. That was the problem before, right? And that wasn't that people weren't keeping track. Part of it was they didn't want to keep track. Mm-hmm. But you could set up a system of keeping track. You make a chart, and you keep track of who went on when and when they're due to go off. And then it's done. It's not a big deal.
I'm sorry. I do disagree with that. People need to have their rights clear and not have to depend on somebody else to interpret their rights for them so that they can understand it. It's very difficult when the system is too complex for people to understand their rights. And I'm concerned about that complexity.
Okay, I agree with that. I don't think there's any disagreement here. The question is, what do we do about somebody's term on the local station board has expired, but their term on the national board hasn't expired? So there are two suggestions that I've heard so far. One is 2-year terms on the national board, and the other is 1-year terms. So you get voted on every year, right? Those are the two concrete ideas that I've heard. So can we see where we are on those two different ideas?
If I can just speak in favor of the 1-year term, for no other reason but the fact that if you're facing somebody that's only got 1 year left and a 3-year term on the local board and you want to make use of them, you'd be otherwise foreclosed to avail yourself of their skills simply by virtue of the fact they've not yet faced re-election for the subsequent year. So the 1-year term enables us to maximize our use of exploiting all you talented folks.
Okay. Okay, does anybody else want to speak on the board?
No.
On the board.
On the board.
On the board, no. No, sorry, Mary. Okay, so how should we pose this? Yeah, Joy.
We are coming up on the anniversary of the creation of this board, right?
Yes.
So we haven't even been in business for a year.
What?
We have not been in business as a board for a year.
And we're cooking.
What we're cooking may be debatable, but
no, we're cooking, but we're fried.
I think having been in different organizations at different capacities, you really want to have stability. You really need to have stability at the top layers of your organization, so that they can concentrate on extending, especially for strategic development purposes. You need people in a process that's stable, so people can concentrate on doing whatever they need to do over extended period of times. And so this ping-ponging of, you know, people in and off of the board isn't, in my opinion, very conducive and constructive for a long-term growth of any organization, and especially this organization.
If I could just speak to that for a second. I understand what you're saying, and I think that would be a problem, but I don't think that's what's going to happen. Again, I don't have a crystal ball, but I think that if people are doing a good job, then they're going to get reelected for 3 years, and then possibly for another, you know, up to 6 years, they would get reelected. So I do think it will work in practice, and will that the continuity will still be there. It's also actually an easier way to take somebody off the national board if they're not doing a good job, because they don't get reelected after a year. You know, it's another safeguard for keeping the people on the national board that you want on the national board. So I think it's okay.
I like it. All right, I'd like to make a motion.
Okay.
The term of a director should be 1 year. A director may serve up to 6 consecutive 1 year terms.
Okay. Is it
second?
Is it 5 because they have to spend 1 year on the local board first? Okay.
Good point.
Up to 5 consecutive 1 year terms.
Okay. The term of the is 1 year, and you can serve up to 5 consecutive terms. Okay. All in favor of that, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3. Okay. All opposed to that. 1, 2, 3, 4, 4. Abstentions? 2. Okay, is there another proposal? Is there another proposal, then, if that's not going to fly? Serene's proposal. No, I was looking to see if the board had another proposal. The 2 years. Okay, we've got 5 more minutes to wrap this up. The 2 that you serve. Go ahead.
I propose that we grant the local station board's authority in that circumstance to give ex officio status on the local station board to the director for that period of time.
I second that motion.
Okay, it's clear what that is?
No.
So okay, if you're on, you've been elected to the local board for a 3-year term. You get elected from the local board to the national board for a 3-year term, right? But let's say that happens in your second year. So then there's that year in there where you're on the national board, but you but your term has expired on the local board. The local board would be able to give you ex officio status for that year. So you would remain a member for that 1 year as an ex officio status, and therefore allow you to complete your national service.
Proviso?
Yes.
That the listeners be able to recall a director even in ex officio status.
Yeah, okay.
They'd be recalled as a director. Yes.
Yeah, that'd be still susceptible to recall. That should be stated probably in the modification.
Okay, that would have to be recalled. Okay, Carol?
If the bylaws say a range of numbers of members of the local station board from 16 to 24, and the local station board has elected its 24-person complement, you can't have a 25th person under the law.
So what way to deal with it would be that you have a 24 a range of numbers of local board members, but you have to hold one of them in reserve for your national board ex officio seat. It's just...
Or you provide...
You can't have an ex officio member?
Or you provide that you may have that range, and you may have one ex officio if you so elect.
Ex officio means... it's stupid to even talk in Latin. It just means by reason of your office. Because you are a director, we're going to keep you on the local board for as long as you are a director, until your term expires. But if you're keeping somebody on the local board by reason of their office and are exceeding the number of local board members the bylaws permits, you've created a problem.
Well, okay, so the 24 is just 24, and this ex officio counts within the 24.
Yeah, it would be a board member, yes.
If I could offer a notion that the ex officio status is then not based on your membership on the board, but on the local board, but rather on your membership on the national board, and thus your ex officio status on the local board does not... per se interfere with the number limit of the local board membership.
Well, that's the question or issue I'm raising, is I think it does. If the local board has 24 elected members, right?
Yeah.
And there's a 25th person sitting on it by reason of their office.
Carol, why would there be 25? Because you would be in 24
that 24 plus 1 is 25.
No, you would be in that 24 when you got sent up.
Right. So the next election, my term has expired. The listeners have a right to replace me.
Right. Okay.
Okay, I think we're finishing line. Let's finish.
We run into a lawyer.
Leslie, point of information.
Let's run into the lawyer.
Please, sure.
George.
It seems that a couple questions we need to ask ourselves. We can resolve this. One, we could pattern a rule which says that this ex officio member doesn't count towards their 24 membership. 24 number membership, or whatever the membership number is, one. But then two, what we've got to resolve whether it's going to be voting or non-voting member. We can do that.
Voting of the local board.
That's right.
Whether the ex officio would be voting or not.
Okay.
Well, I can solve the dilemma, I think, by saying, well, we've already resolved that the number of local board members shall be between 16 and 24. We could say between 16 and 24 and up to 3 ex officio by reason of serving on the national board. Additional.
Okay, how's that?
And they would have to be voting, because one of the reasons why we want overlapping membership is to have directors of the foundation serving on these local committees, because that puts the weight of the directorship of the foundation in the local committee.
And then we got to take a vote on this. Time's up.
For the executive director, who is, I don't know if that vote went through, that they would be ex officio on the board.
On the national board. Okay.
And that's what we're talking about now, right?
No.
We're talking about the local board?
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about the interplay between the two.
They wouldn't do that.
Okay, but the fact is that you'll have two categories of ex officio?
On the local board? No.
On the national board.
Two categories insofar as one's voting and one's not.
One on each.
Ex officio on the local board.
The ex officio on the national board would only be the executive director.
Okay. On the local board, it would be?
It would be that person who's caught in that year where their term is up, is completed on the local but not completed on the national.
Now, historically, if I'm not mistaken, the executive director was ex officio on the local board also.
No, the general manager was.
The general manager.
Okay. Okay, so are we clear? Then Carol's made a proposal that, in addition to Rob's proposal, right, that the person would be ex officio. Yeah, a friendly manner. That the person would be ex officio, and that the local board could have up to 3 ex officio members that fall into this category, but no more than that.
Right.
Voting. Okay, all in favor of that, please raise your hand.
1, 2, 3, 4. Is it everybody?
Everybody except Jabari? And not Carol. I'm sorry.
You proposed it. I'm just trying to solve the problem.
Thank you.
I don't like it.
Thank you. Okay, I don't think we can take up another item here.
No.
No, forget, I don't. We're wrapping it up before 5 minutes, so thank you for the signals, because we have to be out of the room in 3.5 minutes. Now, before everybody goes, tomorrow morning we have to start on time. We were about a half hour late today. Very, very bad. So 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. tonight at 7, we're reconvening here at the Leisure Learning Unlimited. I don't know if there's a big sign out there, but there's no number on the...
There's no street.
Is it on Richmond? Yeah, it's a little unclear where it actually is. Is it on Richmond or is it on East Side? I don't know. I assume the hotel van. Okay, the hotel van can take people, you know, over there. So you just have to know, tell them where they're going. Yes, yes.
Two-second announcement. The participatory caucus is meeting for supper. You can meet me out and meet us out in the in the restaurant.
The participatory caucus
is meeting for supper.
Okay, thank you. And the non-participatory caucus. Those of you who no longer want to participate.
If you're going to try to lobby me to